الحياة غنائي وهبتني بقائي وعيني بعمق البحار بهما أميز بين خير وشقاء بهما أبدل يأسا برجاء.
Death is not what they promised. No one-way ticket to paradise. No special dispensation for martyrs. No houris. Those houris were supposed to be awesome. I looked all over for them after the blast. Nothing. Time seems to pass over here, though I'm not exactly sure how it moves. In ways that count, I think I'm still 15. I had friends who could identify every specimen of bomb. Some of them sat around all day making lists like the ones kids in normal places make of their favourite athletes or rock stars. I, on the other hand, couldn't have cared less about explosives. I hated what they did and never got angry enough to want to use them, not even against our sworn enemies. Don't get me wrong, I cared about the cause. I wanted liberation for Palestine as much as anyone. Most of the time, though, I worried about other stuff. I wanted to figure out this whole girl thing. I thought I was making headway with Serene. She scared me a little. She was wild, I could tell. I was sure we were destined to be together. She lived next door and we saw a lot of each other coming and going. I let my eyes linger. Her eyes would dart away quickly, then come back slowly. I knew she probably liked me too. So how does a 15-year-old aspiring Casanova get himself blown up? To answer, I need to go back 10 months before the date of my death. It was a brisk December morning in 1989. Rami and I were standing outside my garden wall. Rami smoking, looking as cool as a cowboy, and me standing around with my hands in my jean pockets. A couple of kids we knew came up to us and bummed cigarettes off Rami. Hassan and Tariq had bullied us all through elementary school. They weren't your everyday garden variety playground jerks. These guys had a wicked, nasty streak, and I wanted nothing to do with them. That morning, all they did was take a couple of cigarettes from Rami and go on their way. The next morning, they lit their cigarettes, glanced from me to Rami, and asked us if we believed in Palestine. I didn't know what to say, so I let Rami do the talking. Of course we believe in Palestine! Rami was a good guy. He was terrific to be around because he was always so relaxed. Like me, like all of us, he had been roughed up plenty by Hassan and Tariq. Unlike us, he wasn't afraid of them. What kind of people do you think we are? Palestine belongs to us. We would do anything for it. Rami was passionate and adamant.
Yeah, but would you die for it?
Hassan's eyes were slits.
Of course. We risk death walking to school every day. What are you talking about?
Rami was on a roll.
Not that kind of death. Would you volunteer to die for Palestine?
Like how? I ventured.
Like strapping a bomb to your belly and exploding yourself in a cafe or bus stop or school.
Rami was pissed off now.
Yeah, we would. We'd do anything.
I knew Rami. He didn't mean it. But he did say it, and he shouldn't have.
Okay, then. You're our kind of Palestinian. We'll let you know what to expect. Good boys.
Months went by without us hearing a thing. By the end of July, I spent much less time fixated on what Hassan and Tariq were planning. Rami appeared to have forgotten all about it as early as a couple of weeks after the incident, and he would make fun of me whenever I brought it up. That August, I was in heaven. No, not dead yet. Heaven on earth with a houri named Serene. Serene and I often played visual pursuit. We'd done so since we were about 11, the year our worlds split apart. It was the year girls started to play only with the other girls, and us guys moved away from them completely. For 4 long years, there was nothing but eye contact between Serene and me. That summer, however, we were looking for something more. I was standing with Rami outside my house, as usual. I saw Serene walking back alone from somewhere. Rami chose this moment to go inside to use the bathroom. Serene, spotting me alone, walked up to me. She came in really close. She was sweating too, but her sweat, unlike mine, smelled of jasmine.
"I've been watching you. There's a chink in our garden wall. What are you always writing in that notebook?"
"Stuff about people and things."
"Do you write about me?"
"I do. What do you say?"
"That your hair looks like Medusa's."
"Did you know your lips are the color of pomegranates?" I remember telling myself to calm my breathing.
"No, I didn't realize." "Do you like me?"
She was a girl with guts.
"Yes, very much."
"Good. Should we start seeing each other?"
"Yes."
I found the chink in our garden wall. She had a view of me in my corner. My view of her depended on her mood. Sometimes she would sit coyly on one of the garden chairs reading a book. Other times, usually when her parents were out, she would lie in the grass, her shirt casually scrunched up so I could catch a glimpse of her naked waist, sometimes even the lift of her breasts. I got to know her in pieces. We had to be careful not to get caught by our parents. It was thrilling. I spent my days and nights buzzing. We would leave notes to each other in the chink. All the writing I'd ever done had been for this. That August, we shared a secret in the layers of our skin. Never touching, hardly in each other's presence face to face, but always together in writing and in our wall-framed sightings of each other. In early September, a few days before school was tentatively scheduled to begin, Serene slit me the following note. "Meet me here at midnight." It wasn't hard for Serene and me to sneak out of our homes around midnight to meet at our garden wall. It wasn't hard to walk through our gates to find a quiet alley in the dark. It wasn't hard to look into her eyes, to touch, finally, the corners of her lips, her neck, her shoulders, her waist, the pieces of her I had memorized. Her breath smelt of oranges or apricots, maybe both. We were there for no more than 20 minutes. We hadn't said a word to each other, but right before it was over, she whispered, "Tomorrow, again." And so it was, in the late weeks of summer or early weeks of autumn, again and again and again, meeting in a dark alley, kissing parts of Serene, touching more and more of her at once, whispering questions.
"Do you eat olives for breakfast?"
"Yes."
"Do you like to swim?"
"Yes." Everything felt exaggerated. The dark, darker. The silence, more silent. Serene was exceedingly beautiful, and I was exceptionally horny. I know you're probably wondering how I could have been thinking about sex at a time like that. I remind you that I was, maybe still am, 15. Sex and death aren't that different to me. Sex and death make me want to live. And sex is something I think about all the time, even here in the vast beyond. In the heightened atmosphere of that crazy midnight, I wanted more from Serene than I had asked for in the last month and a half. What little Serene gave me that night is all I will ever have. I thought it was the beginning. I thought there was more to come. So I pulled up my pants, and she smoothed down her skirt, and we laughed together. The next day I woke up late. I had the house to myself. It was the weekend. My mother would have been at the market, my father at the cafe, and my brothers hanging out in the streets. I took the blue plastic bag and sat in my tiny corner of the garden. I removed the bomb from the bag as carefully as folding origami. It looked harmless, a contraption I might have put together myself for fun. Serene was peeking through the gap in the wall. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. Serene watched as I handled the explosive gently, tenderly, like a lover. It had coloured wires going through it. It wasn't very big, and I wondered how much damage it could do. I thought about how to get rid of it. I could find someone to disarm it. I could explode it in a field. I could tell my father. He would know what to do.
my finger caught in the wire. I was careless. It was the last thing Serene would see. The last thing she would hear. An ambulance came, too late for me, but for Serene, to try to save her eyes, her ears. Rami got to live a few more years. He would die of a brain hemorrhage at 18. Rubber bullet to the head. Things I know now? Life is pomegranate lips. Life should not be serene, blind, and deaf. Life is moist encounters in a back alley at midnight, not boys listing guns, playing with bombs. We want to see and hear everything. To dance until the sun rises with a girl in a silver dress. Not this darkness. This weight on my chest. Not this ending. Not for us.